And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It's Fantasy Championship Week, everybody. Pete Jensen and Nick Alberga back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip on this Monday morning, April 3rd. Nick, what's going on, man? How are your leagues shaping up?
Yeah, not too badly. Great to be on with you once again. And of course, I did win a couple championships, so feeling good on this Monday. Don't forget Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And we got some loose ends to tie up. So we bring in Waiver Wire James for the culmination of our series together throughout this season. What's up, buddy?
Championship week, Easter week, Masters week. It is a great time of the year. I started off 0-4 and then 1-5 in my keeper league. Made a run, made the playoffs in the championship this week, so I'm pretty excited myself.
Not such a good weekend, though, for the New York Islanders, James, and I wanted to start there, right? They were playing some tough teams in Carolina and Tampa, but it's getting to the nitty-gritty end of the road here, and there are a couple of teams on their tail, including Buffalo, who is 6 points behind them with three games in hand. So count Buffalo in to the conversation with Pittsburgh and with the Florida Panthers. How are you feeling about the Islanders right now?
Yeah, going into this final stretch of the season, they had one of the hardest finishes of any team in the league, playing Tampa Bay twice, Carolina, Washington. Really the only two, I would say, quote unquote, easy games on their schedule over the final six for the Islanders would be two of their last three against Philadelphia and Montreal. But, you know, they have Tampa Bay on Thursday, and then they finish next week. I think it's Washington and Montreal with Philly sandwiched in there. So, you know, the Islanders have to take at least three of these four, really, I think, to have a shot at clinching a playoff spot. They didn't do themselves any favors against Tampa Bay the other night. Just a rare bad game from Ilya Sorokin, who looked completely off his game, and then just a bad turnover in the third period on Sunday against Carolina led to, you know, a breakout, and Carolina scores with about 10 minutes left to win that one 2-1. So, you know, the Islanders really didn't do themselves a lot of favors, and they have teams like Florida and Buffalo playing really, really good hockey right now and getting really good goaltending from a couple of their young guys who are keeping those teams in the race.
Yeah, guys, we got to stop this. Like, Buffalo was not making the Stanley Cup playoffs. I am sorry. They're the Nashville Predators of the Eastern Conference. Great story, Devin Levi. We're going to get into him. But to me, it's a three-horse race for two spots. So the Islanders have four games left. Tampa, Philadelphia, at Washington, at Carolina. You have Pittsburgh with five games remaining, and you have the Florida Panthers with five games remaining. So for me, it's two of those three. James, I ask you this from the Islanders' perspective. Is it tough to be chasing right now when it comes to playoff spots? And you're going to be watching games this week if you're the Islanders, because they play just twice.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, the Islanders, like I said, they didn't do themselves any favors recently with some of their performances, losing to, you know, Columbus in regulation or in overtime, and then losing, you know, on the back-to-back both games last weekend, especially after the way they dismantled Toronto, just to come out as flat as they did for the next few games. They put themselves in this position to be caught by a team like Florida, who, you know, is making a second half surge, which I think we all expected around the All-Star break. We said this team is too good to not be in it, and they're getting healthier. And that's all they've done, is they've gotten healthy and they've gotten better. And I think that Florida does jump either one or both of the Islanders and the Penguins and gets in.
And people have been picking up teams from these contending teams for their fantasy playoff weeks. I know Brian Rust, a guy that we've been down on all season long, actually came through in a big way for a lot of people. One of our fans was saying, you know, he's going to get his name on my championship ring. And you got to respect that for the timely scoring for Rusty, right? So, and I think with Florida, like Alex Lyon, James, the way that he's stepped up in the illness absence of Sergei Bobrovsky gives Florida a little bit more confidence going into these big games. Remember, we were talking about it off air, right? When Alex Lyon stepped up right before the All-Star break and beat the Boston Bruins. That was something that, like, breathed a little bit of life back into this Panthers team and reminded them that, hey, they could beat anybody on any given night.
they're led by, you know, their depth. And that was one thing that we said in the offseason. And, you know, I'm curious now, because when they made that trade to bring in Matt Tkachuk and they gave away Huberto and Uyghur, everybody was killing the Panthers and said, you know, this is a terrible move for them. And then you look at the production that Uyghur and Huberto have combined for this year, and it's about what Matt Tkachuk has put up by himself. So it's, you know, it's pretty interesting to see what's gone on there. But, you know, that team is deep. I mean, they have, you know, Etu Lusterainen, they have Anton Lindell, Anthony Duclair is now back and healthy. Carter Verhaeghe is on an absolute tear right now. They're getting the goaltending, they're getting the defense. So, you know, this is a scary time to, you know, be one of these top playoff teams and seeing the Florida Panthers rounding into form. You think Boston wants to play this Florida team right now, or Carolina if they get up into the seventh spot? I would not want to be messing around with this team come early in the playoffs.
To me, it's just ironic that you look at the Panthers, and if they do make the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think their undoing again could be their goaltending. I know Alex Lyon's been a great story, 3-0 in the last week, 1.33 and 951, one shutout. But you have Sergei Bobrovsky. Like, you don't know what you're going to get on a nightly basis. Pete, what would you do if you're Paul Maurice? You got Buffalo, Ottawa, and you're visiting Washington this week. Your playoff hopes are on the line. Alex Lyon's had a hot week. Say Sergei Bobrovsky is good to go, ready to come back. Who do you go with, at least for Tuesday against Buffalo?
I mean, if he's not 100%, I'd probably roll Lyon against the Sabres. I mean, that's going to be a big matchup. As much you want to say the Sabres are dead, if they start Devon Levi, they're not dead. And we've been talking about that the past couple of weeks. He's available to be picked up here. James, I thought he had a nice showing against the New York Rangers. We were chatting about that before the game, and I just had a feeling he was going to come up big in that game. And I feel like he has something to prove down the stretch of the season that, you know, he can be maybe the final piece to this Buffalo team moving forward that can put them over the top and get them back to the playoffs. So I would go ahead and pick up Devon Levi. And I think the Florida Panthers, in that particular matchup could have their hands full, especially if Tage Thompson comes back from injury. They've been, you know, charging back in the standings without Tage Thompson the past couple of games.
Yeah, Casey Mittelstadt has really settled in nicely on that first line in between Skinner and Tuck. Obviously, Dylan Cousins on that second line with Peterka and Quinn. So, you know, that's a really, really well-oiled and solid top six. And that's not to diminish anything that Tage Thompson has done, because when he's in, he's, you know, elite. But it just shows where Buffalo had been over the past year or so and where they've come to now. And if they're, you know, running like this, once they get Thompson back, especially if Mittelstadt can carry this kind of confidence that he's had these last four or five games over into that middle six role that he was playing, that just makes the Sabres even more difficult to play against, because it just adds a lot of depth. But yeah, when you look at it, Levi, he looked a little shaky, obviously. I mean, who's not going to be shaky in your NHL debut playing against the juggernaut like the Rangers are at the moment? But he looked shaky, settled down, and got stronger as the game went on. And he's got two favorable games this week against Florida and Detroit. I think if, you know, he gets the nod for both of them, even though I said, you know, Florida is a very tough team to play against. The way he showed against the Rangers, he's not afraid of a big moment. So I could definitely see him getting the nod to maybe even all three games this week, and the Sabres running with him.
So if you're still alive in your fantasy postseason, there are five teams you want to target in terms of waiver pickups: Colorado, Nashville, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Vegas. You want to stay away from the Islanders, Washington, and Winnipeg. They play just twice. I think some teams and guys you look at: Confer, Rodriguez, Byron with Colorado, Glass, Novak, Berry with Nashville, D'Angelo, Owen Tippett, Travis Konecny, Morgan Frost is another guy I think you want to target this week, Jared McCann, Matty Beniers with Seattle, and Vegas. I would be all over a guy like Chandler Stephenson. Laurent Boissois, Pete, is a big-time story there too.
One team that's sneaky that jumped out that you just mentioned is the Philadelphia Flyers, James. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're playing good hockey right now. They just got Travis Konecny back from injury, so that makes the whole ripple effect in the top six a little bit stronger, I think. He has goals and five shots on goal in each of his first two games since coming back, James. So how do you see that affecting certain players? Like right now, the top line is Farabee with Frost, who we like on the waiver wire this week, and Owen Tippett. So, and then Konechny's on the second line, but just, you know, he'll impact the power play in a good way.
Yeah, Konechny is one of those guys that we always said he can carry a line by himself right now, and that's kind of what he's doing, and that's allowing that top line with Frost centering Tippett to, you know, kind of like and Farabee to, you know, take off. And you mentioned Frost, like he's showing signs of a breakout 4-game point streak, 6 points in that span, 2 multi-goal games. And 12 points in his past 10 games overall. So, you know, he's third on the Flyers right now, behind Tippett and Konechny in scoring. And, you know, on that power play unit, which is kind of underrated, he's looked really good also. So there's a lot of depth on the waiver wire. And another guy, Nick, that you didn't mention from Vegas that I would be looking at this week is Ivan Barbashev. He's skating on that top line with Marchessault and Eichel, and he has points in 3 straight games. So, you know, there's another, you know, little wrinkle right there to pick up for a team that has, you know, a lot of favorable games this week.
Curious to get both your opinions, and Pete, we can start with you and the Vegas Golden Knights. I, for one, as you know, was not bullish on this team. I thought they'd miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. Bruce Cassidy proved me wrong. He's got an impressive system. They've been a great story. Especially without Mark Stone. But the biggest tie-up for me, Pete, when you look at the Western Conference going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mentioned it. Laurent Boisois, I guess, is their number one because Jonathan Quick has come back to reality a bit the last couple starts, and Thompson's banged up. What's your level of concern this is ultimately going to cost Vegas come the Stanley Cup playoffs, Pete?
If they fall out of the division lead, I'll be very concerned because they'll be going up against Edmonton, and I'll pick Edmonton in that series. LA, this is a big opportunity for them. Only 1 point behind Vegas. 1 more game played, but LA clinched a playoff spot in their most recent game. And I think they're a stronger, deeper team when you consider these injuries to key players on Vegas, like Mark Stone, who's been out for a while. Riley Smith was red hot before his injury, and Logan Thompson. You'd hope that they get at least one of those guys back for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Otherwise, I'd be worried about them in the 2-3 slot. And even if they win the division against a sneaky team like Seattle, Winnipeg's even heating up. They probably wouldn't play them, but they would be on upset alert if they do win the division because of these injuries going on. And Eichel, like we've been talking about all past couple of years since the trade, he's never played a playoff game, so the verdict's still out on him, right, James?
Yeah, and Eichel really hasn't had, you know, the season that I think everybody still expects that he can have for, you know, as A, what he's paid for, and B, what he did in Buffalo before his surgery. But still, he's, you know, he's leading that team, and you know, he's putting that team on his back, and he's, you know, starting to prove that he is, you know, that guy that everybody thought he was when he was drafted right behind Connor McDavid all those years ago. But, you know, I picked Vegas to make the playoffs. I had originally said that it was going to be Logan Thompson that was going to, you know, backstop them to the playoffs and win the Calder. Obviously, that's not happening. But I think that this team does get in, obviously. And it just depends on who they play. If they do fall out of that top seed with the way that Edmonton's playing right now, I would pick Edmonton against them. But, you know, if they're playing, you know, the 7 or the 8 seed, it's kind of a toss up. But, you know, they're playing really good hockey right now. And I would like to edit what I said before about Ivan Barbashev, 5-game point streak, not a 3-game point streak. So he's definitely a guy that I would be jumping on right now.
And Barbashev's one of the quiet producers since the trade, right? 13 points in 17 games. He's in a contract year as well. So I kind of liked that pickup at the time, and now the results are in. So it doesn't have a great shot volume, but I would certainly not hesitate to pick up Barbashev for the fantasy championship round. Are you guys dabbling in Detroit at all? I know David Perron has been really trending in the right direction for the Red Wings. Also, Nedeljkovic, remember he got sent down and cleared waivers. It seemed like he got banished, and now Huso's injured, and Nedeljkovic is winning games left and right. 43 saves in a win against the Maple Leafs on Sunday. Detroit's not a team I really trust because they're rebuilding, but they're winning some games right now, so you got to take them seriously a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust them either. Like, I will take a peek. I thought Nedeljkovic was really, really good on Sunday. Mind you, again, there was some load management happening on the Toronto side, and that's going to be a theme throughout the final 2 weeks of this regular season. But you got to remember, you know, trust is a big word, but James, this guy is fighting for his life, so to speak, with Detroit. Like, I think if this thing goes awry in the next couple of weeks, they could look at a buyout in the offseason. Just hasn't worked out for Nedeljkovic with the Detroit Red Wings. So I think from that perspective, I would be smart as a fantasy owner, but you can't help but look at the numbers of Detroit and say, hey, why can't this team be a spoiler down the stretch, right?
100%, especially when you look at the schedule that they have coming up this week, Montreal, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. I mean, those are winnable games, all three of them, and especially if he can start to show, you know, that he is still the guy they signed or they traded for from Carolina a couple of years ago. I mean, three of his four starts so far, two goals against. He's won three of the four starts as well. So he has looked very solid, even though, like you said, Nick, there was a little bit of load management going on for, you know, Toronto, but he beat Carolina and he beat Pittsburgh last week. So, you know, I wouldn't be shying away from streaming a guy like Nedeljkovic if, you know, you absolutely need that spot start. Especially against a team like Montreal on Tuesday.
And we see Boston sitting guys left and right after they clinched the President's Trophy. So make sure you know, check your lineups and then check them again at 6:30, 6:45, just to make sure you're not missing. Because a lot of people in your fantasy leagues right now, you have a ton of players playing on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. So you might be able to slot in somebody else if a guy like Bergeron or McAvoy or Krejci is sitting out for a nagging injury or just for rest or maintenance, right, Nick?
Well, an interesting wrinkle there too, Pete. I'm going to just jump you there, Nick. We're talking about the Boston Bruins. The last few games, Tyler Bertuzzi, three-game point streak has been skating on the opposite side of David Pastrnak. You know, and that may just be because of load management. You know, Krejci with a lower body injury sat out on Sunday. You know, Bergeron is a little banged up, so, you know, like, they're resting him. I mean, you could see a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi, who a lot of people liked that acquisition at the trade deadline, might now start seeing some top six usage either continuously with Pastrnak or, you know, may get even bumped up with a guy like Brad Marchand for, you know, like, the last handful of games of the year. And, you know, he brings not only, you know, potential points, but also shots and hits. So, you know, a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi could be an excellent stream for the last, you know, 10 days of the season.
A couple more takeaways for me as well. Matt Zuccarello, guys, has been ice cold since Kirill Kaprizov went down. He has 6 points, just 2 goals in 11 games. And Cam Talbot, stay far away from this guy. You know, we've talked about it throughout the season, Pete, with respect to that Gustafson for Cam Talbot trade. That could go down as an all-timer. And I thought from the other side it was going to go down, but this way, it's Minnesota just getting the upper hand so far. And Talbot in three appearances since returning from a lower body issue, 8 goals on 37 shots. I just don't believe in Ottawa. They're really, really banged up right now. So if you're looking for a spot start, Pete, it's not going to be Cam Talbot for me.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Chychrun and Shabbat, both likely done for the season. Couple other guys that can make a difference in your matchups. James, that came back from injury recently, Antti Raanta. He'll get a couple of starts probably the rest of the way with Kochetkov down to the AHL and Freddie Anderson maybe, you know, down the stretch. He's not going to play every game. So look at Antti Raanta coming back. Trevor Zegras back after a slight injury absence. And John Klingberg, I know you were saying, Nick, that Zuccarello has been cold, but Boldy has been hot. And if Klingberg's playing up top power play one with him and Joel Eriksson-Ek and the net front presence, he could get some points by accident there. And as much as we were, you know, talking about Matthew Tkachuk outscoring Huberto plus Uyghur so far this season, and another 100-point season for Matthew Tkachuk, back-to-back, pretty impressive. Mackenzie Uyghur is definitely trending in the right direction with his category coverage. He might be floating out there, James, in some leagues, and very important games coming up for the Calgary Flames. They also play the Winnipeg Jets coming up. That's going to be a massive tilt.
Huge matchup for both of those teams, especially Calgary still fighting to try and get in. I do love what Uyghur's doing at the moment. You know, he's probably him, Andrew Mangiapane, Michael Backlund, you know, just a handful of guys. Obviously, Blake Coleman has been playing pretty solid lately, and he always brings that shots and hits exposure. You know, Huberto as well. He's starting to turn it on right now. Over the past like 2-3 weeks, he's been chipping in significantly more points. He's finally cracked 50 points this year, which is still unbelievable to see just as much of a drop as he's had from where he was last year to where he is this year right now. But yeah, there is a lot of depth on a team like Calgary. So I would not shy away, you know, from picking up anybody in their top six or, you know, one of their top defensemen if they're available. I would shy away from their goaltending though.
Yeah, that goes without saying. All right, James, appreciate the time today. Appreciate the time all season long. You were fantastic. Thanks so much for this.
Absolutely, guys. My pleasure. Love it. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
Waiver Wire James always bringing the goods. And he has a question for his own championship push. Ivan Barbashev, who we talked about at length, versus Matias Maccelli. I would lean Maccelli. This guy is quietly, Nick, leading all rookies in points per game and power play assists this season. So what's not to like about him? He produces regardless of lineup placement this season.
You're right. And everything is quiet with the Arizona Coyotes. People seem to sleep on that team from a fantasy perspective. Clayton Keller's had a great year. Schmaltz, up and down that lineup, even when Chychrun is in that conversation as well. So I like the look with Maccelli. But you know how I feel about schedule manipulation. If it's not just for today, if it's for the rest of the week, I like, obviously, Barbashev with the Vegas Golden Knights because of the four-game slate. We talked about the five teams to monitor and to target this week from a waiver wire perspective. But it's getting mighty interesting. It's so fascinating to me, Pete, that, you know, the calendar changes to April, and you can sense the intensity ramping up when you watch NHL games opposed to even a couple days ago, because you know the Stanley Cup playoffs are just around the corner here.
Yes, and since we last talked, we have a matchup set in stone, a rematch between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, the Lightning upped them in Game 7 last year, and I felt like when I was watching that series, Nick, last year, that Toronto deserved to win that series, so yeah. Maybe a bounce back incoming for Toronto, but as long as Tampa's Big Five is healthy, it's really tough to bet against them, right?
Yeah, I would say death taxes and fading Toronto in Game 7 in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm going to continue to go that route. I've been making some money the last couple of years. I think it's going to be a really, really tight series. I think it's going to come down to a Game 7. Ultimately, the lean for me goes to Tampa because of Andrei Vasilevskiy, because of Victor Hedman, Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, all those guys, comparatively speaking, to the Maple Leafs side. But we've known this series since, like, mid-November. As you know, I host a show called Leafs Morning Take, available every day on YouTube. And we've been talking about Tampa and Toronto literally since mid-November. So I'm happy it's solidified. And the last thing up for debate is who's going to have home ice in that series. The Leafs lead by 4 points with a game in hand right now.
I like Tampa even more if they're marked as underdogs. Stay tuned for that. They probably won't be, but it's certainly possible. They were last year when they beat Toronto. One guy that a fan was asking about, Brandon Hagel, has had a great season overall on the Lightning top line, but he's pointless in his past seven games. A fan was asking, should I drop Brandon Hagel for this precious time of year in my fantasy championship weeks?
The answer is yes for me. You know how I feel about the schedule. I rather pick up players who play four times. I believe Tampa plays three times. And now's not a time, Pete, to wait around. Like, if a guy's not producing for three or four games, I'm dumping out. How do you feel about it?
I would hang tough with Hagel. I like the Lightning. And when he's on the top line with Kucherov and Point, Braden Point, not many people realize just how good of a season he's having. He's like top five in the NHL in goals or tied for fifth, something like that last I checked. So, you know, put your trust in Kucherov and Point. I think they get the job done for you. And just that association, if he is up top for Hagel, he could bounce back and have a hat trick in one of the next couple of games, right? And ruin somebody's season and the rest could be history.
Yeah, Tampa's so fascinating. It's like, oh no, the playoffs are around the corner. Let's start playing again. You see Vasilevskiy lock things down, and defensively speaking, they've really figured things out. But we got some breaking news here on the podcast. Sources tell me, producer Bob Bender would like to chime in here. So go ahead, Bob. You have the floor, my man.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'll say this about Toronto and Tampa.
Okay.
Anyone who's picking Toronto, do they realize who's playing goal? And Kyle Dubas has done everything that he possibly can do. But at the end of the day, you have Samsonov and you have Murray in goal, 7-game playoff series against Tampa, who we know what they've accomplished. And then go look at their goaltender. There is no one that I can truly trust that's taking Toronto in this series, just based on the goaltending. Now, Let's get convinced to some business
here. You convinced me right there.
Yeah, the goalie stuff is just, it's a no brainer.
Murray got hurt again, Bob. You didn't hear that part.
And I don't blame Dubas. Dubas has done every single thing.
You don't blame Shanahan.
He's done everything they could do, except they can't figure out the goaltending, you know, just like many other teams.
Whose job is that, though?
That's a lot of teams that can't figure out the goaltending.
Okay.
All right, here we go. It's Masters Week. All right? It's Masters Week. We didn't get this from James. Every year we give out some Masters picks. I'm going to speak for James since James is no longer on the program. But how about this for a Masters pick? Max Homa. Okay? Big time underdog. I think he has a chance to win the Masters. James likes the favorite, one of the favorites in Rory McIlroy. I'm going to go with Max Homa. And James also threw out a dark horse in Tommy Fleetwood. I'm just going to stick with my pick, Max Homa. Loyal listeners will remember that I threw out the Hideki Matsuyama pick a couple years ago and won a big chunk of cash. So don't take my picks lightly here. All right? It's Masters Week, Nick. Okay. Masters Week.
I'll go Tiger.
Yeah, go take care of business. That's all I have.
Corey Connors playing in that tournament. He's a hockey guy, right?
Yeah.
There Nick loves Corey Connors because he's Canadian.
Love Corey Connors. Love the Masters. Can't wait for that weekend. But it should be a lot of fun. It is an enticing and exhilarating time of year. I watch WrestleMania over the weekend. So lots happening, Pete. Let's tie a bow on this puppy.
I've moved on from college basketball season, national championship. Maybe go with the underdog San Diego State against the vaunted UConn Huskies. I did love seeing that picture, though, of Ray Allen and Okafor and, you know, Rip Hamilton and Kemba Walker, the Mount Rushmore of UConn in the house. So I thought that was pretty cool.
There's no way, if you're betting this spread, you have to take San Diego State tonight. The spread has gotten out of control. It's around 7.5. I think you take the spread 7.5. For those that are interested, and I don't think many of them are, and I'm not here to toot my own horn, I am sitting on a UConn futures ticket. So let them win the game tonight, but I'm also going to hedge a little bit. Not really hedge, because I just think it's too many points. I'm gonna try to do a little middle and hit both UConn wins, but they don't win by more than 7. So San Diego State plus 7.5, folks, for the hoops. Okay. There's no way you're going to take UConn and lay that points. The number has gotten out of control, folks.
We're all set, Pete.
Sounds good, man. Good advice. We always heed Bobby and James's golf advice because I don't know that much about the sport, but it's also baseball season. So much going on. We're really amped up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have other shows coming up, of course, once we know all the matchups, playoff pool preview, betting preview with Michael Leboff. So a lot to look forward to in the next couple of weeks, Nick.
Yep, looking forward to it and looking forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I can't believe as we have this conversation, we are 2 weeks away from the first game of the postseason.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Best time of year, maybe in all of sports. So we're looking forward to it. So again, for Waiver Wire James, Bobby B, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you on the other side.